Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Windham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again this morning. I got a little commercial I got to run. I made a little mistake and put in our newsletter that our cantata would be on the 17th in that morning. But the handbell choir will be doing the music that morning. And then our cantata will be that night service at 6 o'clock. So if you got your newsletter and if it was wrong, then I apologize for that. But we'll be having the handbell choir will do the music in the morning service, and we'll have just one service that day on the 17th, December the 17th, and we'll have our worship down in our new worship center, and we'll meet at 11 o'clock for worship, so we hope to see you then. And then that night, we'll meet back down there, and the choir will present The King is Born, and so we're looking forward to that, and I know you won't want to miss it, so I wanted to correct that this morning before we get started. Now, yeah, I hope all of you had a great Thanksgiving. Here we are in December, and it's a few days away from Christmas, not too many more days, 22 more days to Christmas, and there we'll be. And then this year will be over in 2024. So I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And this morning, of course, we're going to get into some scripture and kind of talk about Jesus coming and why he came. But before we do that, let's do go to the Lord in prayer. Father, what a joy it is to be able to come and to share your word this morning once again on this radio station. Lord, to come and to share it with these people, Lord, that are listening and those that will be in church this morning. And Lord, we pray for those that may be shut in today and not able to get out and go to church. We pray for their strength. We pray for their healing. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will go before us and minister to them right there in the home where they're at. We pray for those that may be traveling today and in the car. Lord, we just pray that you give them safe journey to and from. And Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would just fill that automobile today and speak to their hearts. But Lord, I pray most of all that, Lord, that you speak through me, that you fill me with your Spirit, that you use me as your instrument to speak through this morning. Lord, forgive me of my sin and my shortcomings, Lord, because we know it's all about you and not about me. Help us to lift Jesus up. Lord, we know this is a time and a season that we need to be telling everybody why we're celebrating Christmas, that it's all about Christ. Without Christ, there is no Christmas. So bind Satan this morning, and Lord, let your word not return unto you void as we give you the honor and the praise and the glory for it all today. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray. Amen. This morning, if you have your Bibles, we'll be reading from Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. We'll begin with verse 4 and read down through verse 7. Not many scriptures today, but I want us to think about in the fullness of time. In the fullness of time. You know, as we think about when things happen in their own time, you know, things happen when they're supposed to happen, I believe. I believe God has a major plan. I think he has a master plan that he has everything set in order, that things are going to happen according to that. You know, God does everything according to his time. He does things when things are ripe to execute his will and his purpose, not ours and not other people, but everything's according to his will and to his purpose. And so whatever happens, we know that it's according to what God's purpose and his big plan is. See, the thing about God is that God can do what? He can see from the beginning what the end result's going to be. You know, so many times when we start something or when something begins to happen to us, we really don't see what the end's going to be. You know, that's the wonderful thing about God's word, isn't it? You know, it's kind of like one man said, you know, he said, I don't understand everything about Revelation, but the one thing I do understand when I get to the end of that Bible is we as Christian people, we won, you know. So we know what the final outcome's going to be. We're going to win. And God knew that. He knows that from the beginning. And all the things that he has done since creation, and then we see the flood. The flood was in its own time. That was when the fullness of time came. Man got so wicked that the flood came. Then when Jesus came upon this earth, there was a set time that God wanted this to happen, and in the fullness of that time, and so we see that it didn't happen before it was supposed to, wasn't prematurely, but it happened when God wanted, that he sent his son, and guess what? Our word, our precious Bible promises us what? That Jesus is coming again one day, and guess what? It's going to happen just like all the other things did, in the fullness of time. Matter of fact, it said, even as it was in the day of Noah, even as it was like then, in that fullness of time, when the flood came, when Jesus came, then Jesus is coming again, and it will be at the right time. And Jesus' birth that we're fixing to celebrate, Jesus' birth, that we're going to just have a wonderful celebration in our church and all the churches and our families. Why are we celebrating? Because of what Jesus did in the fullness of time, when it was ripe, when it was ready, when God wanted it to happen, Jesus came to this earth. And he came for a particular purpose and a particular reason. And this is what we see Paul writes to the church at Galatia to tell us this morning in Galatians chapter 4 of Galatians, beginning with verse 4. He says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman and made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So we see that Paul is writing here to the church at Galatia, and he says there in that verse 4, in the fullness of time was come. When it was come, that is when God sent forth his Son. In other words, it was just not just haphazardly. It wasn't just some, just random date. No, this was God's plan that he would send forth his Son at this particular time. When the fullness of time was come. Well, we celebrate at Christmas, and I laugh, to look at the children and think about myself back when I was a child. And we just thought that the fullness of time would never get here, didn't we? I mean, back when we were children and we couldn't wait for Christmas, we couldn't wait for Santa Claus, and boy, we would get so excited, when it started getting in November, October, November, but we just never thought it would ever get here, it didn't seem like. And then when we get grown, what happened? It seems like the fullness of time happens every month, doesn't it? Seems like we bat our eyes, and here it is. It's Christmas already. Here it is. We're back in that Christmas season. So it's amazing how that our perspective changes as we grow up and as we get grown. But we see that the fullness of time that it's talking about here was not just December the 25th. It was a time that when God, seeing what was going on in the world, and he knew that the world had to be saved in some way. And the way that he had planned to have the world saved was through the sending of his Son. So we want to see five things here this morning in these few verses that we looked at. These are just powerful, packed verses today that we need to look at, because they're just so full of what Christ did. When we think about the Christmas story, when we think about the fullness of time as upon us, and we're fixing to celebrate Christmas, we're fixing to celebrate the birth of Christ, then why in the world did he even come? So the first thing we see, it says that God sent his Son. God sent his Son. Number two is, we're going to see that he redeemed us. He redeemed us. Number three, we'll see that he offers adoption. Number four is that he sent the Spirit of the Son. And then number five, we'll see that we're no longer servants. No longer servants, but now what? We are sons and daughters of God. So let's go back and look at these five things this morning. As we think about it, it was in the fullness of time. It was in God's plan. This is God's plan. This is exactly how he planned it. From the time that he created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden, when the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became what? It became flesh. And it lived among us in that incarnation of Christ coming to this world. So let's look at these verses and see what it says. Well, the first thing we see there in verse 4, that in this fullness of time was come, that God did what? He sent forth his Son. He sent forth his Son. Now, when we look at this, we see that he's teaching us here that this was God's plan. This is God. Like I said a while ago, God didn't do anything prematurely. God knows from the beginning what the end result is going to be. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And when it gets ripe, when the fullness of time is, then God sends forth, whether it be a flood, whether it be his son to die on the cross or whether it be his son coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God sent forth his son. Now, notice two things that it says about sending forth his son. The first thing he says is that he was made of a woman. He was made of a woman. Now, when we think about the birth of Christ, we know that we have prophecies all the way back in Isaiah and others talking about the virgin birth of Jesus. We know Matthew chapter 1, 23 says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, what? God with us. But God had a plan, folks, and his plan was to send forth his son, being what? Of a woman. Made of a woman. Now notice, it didn't say made of a man and a woman, because we know that Jesus, just as he was born of a woman, he was born of the Holy Spirit, of God himself, that he had no earthly father, that she was a virgin. He was born of a virgin. Now, every Christmas, you know, we try to drill this home, because if we don't get this right, then nothing else that we believe and nothing else that we have in the Lord really makes sense, unless we understand and know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God sent forth his son. He didn't say he sent forth a prophet. He sent forth another man. He didn't say that he sent forth some great evangelist or some great preacher. It says God sent forth his son. And so we have to get that straight. We have to understand when it comes to this Christmas story that who we are talking about when we talk about Jesus, we are talking about the Son of God. Think about that just a minute. The Son of God being born of a virgin, laying in a manger. Now he had that stepfather, if you want to call him that, Joseph, and we know that God had chosen him, and he was a great man for God to choose him to marry Mary and then to raise Jesus there in his home. But we know that he had no earthly father. The Bible plainly points out time and time and time again that he knew her not until after the baby was born, that she was a virgin. Matter of fact, she even asked the angel, what? How can this be, seeing that I know not a man? But God sent forth in the fullness of time his son, Jesus, Emmanuel, Jesus, the Savior of the world. Now notice the second thing that it says. He was born, not only was he born of woman, but he was born under the law. Now, we know that we didn't read the first part of this chapter because it talks about how that if you are a child, and as long as you're a child, even though you're an heir, as long as you're just a child, that you're under our tutors and you're under the law. And it was kind of talking about the Old Testament church. The Old Testament church was caught up under the law. And when Jesus was born, he was born under the law. And when he came and he began his ministry on the face of this earth, what happened? It caused a lot of problems. Because why? Because he didn't do exactly like all the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all, thought he should do. And he said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law. So he was under the law, but where the law was weak and what the law could not do, then Jesus was able to do. And we'll see that in a few minutes as we go on down through the next several points. But we see that Jesus, when he was born, it says he was born of a woman. He was born during a time that the law was ruling, but he came to change that. He came to bring us out from under the law, and praise be to God, to bring us where? Under grace. Isn't that amazing? He brought us out from under the law, and he brought us into a time of grace, that we can find grace with God. But he says, in God's fullness of time, when it was right with God, God sent forth who? His son. Now, why did he send him? He sent him as born of a woman, made of a woman. He was under the law, but he sent him. Number two is, he sent him to do what? Look what it says down in the next verse. But he came in verse 5 and redeemed them that were under the law. So in other words, he was saying that Jesus came, and when he came, he was under the law, but he came to buy us back out from under the law. The word redeem means to get us out from under, to pay our debt off. In that day and time, we know they had debtors' prison that you'd be in. If you couldn't pay your bills, then they would put you in jail, or they would sell you off as a slave. And if you were sold off as a slave and you were working, trying to work your debt off, if somebody wanted to, they could come and redeem you. And then what that meant was they would come and pay what you owe to whatever the creditor was or whoever it was. You could pay that debt, and then you would be set free from that debt. You would be set free from that bondage any longer. Well, this is what he says Jesus has done for us. That when God looked down and he saw man, and we know that God had destroyed the world one time because of sin. He said he wasn't going to do that again. He'd never destroy it by water again. We know it's going to be fire next time, but we see that he didn't want to do this. And so what did he do when he saw the sinfulness of man? He saw man could not make it by just keeping a set of laws. Man just couldn't live a righteous life by these set of laws. He had to have something more. And so for that reason, in the fullness of time, God sent his son to redeem us out from under the law, to get us out from under the law, and to get us under grace. Now, does that mean, and like some people will want us to think, that the Old Testament is of none effect, and that the Old Testament doesn't mean anything to us as Christians today? No. Like I said, Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. Matter of fact, if anything, he made it more powerful. You know, when he says, you know, you've heard it said, thou shalt not kill. But I say, if you get angry enough to want to kill somebody, you've already killed him in your heart. I say that the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say that if you look upon a woman and lust after her, you've already done it in your heart. So, you know, he just added even more power to the law. But we are no longer under the law for our salvation. Our salvation is now through Jesus Christ, because he paid the price. He took our debt, and he did it through his body. We're no under longer law, but he did that for us. Listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. He says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life for a ransom for many. He gave his life for a ransom. You know, we've been watching, and I'm sure you've been watching it on the news. I know I have. It's been so tragic to see what all has happened there in Israel and Hamas, and to see all of these hostages that Hamas has taken, and the way that Hamas has been treating these hostages and trying to get the hostages released, and what Israel's been having to do to get them released. Isn't it amazing that Israel is giving up three to every one? I mean, if we get 10 hostages released, Israel has to give up 30 of these terrorists that were in Israel. So, you know, they're doing everything that they can to redeem them. They're doing everything that they can to pay the ransom, and then to see the way that they have been treated and the way that they have done these hostages. Can you imagine your child being there? And I mean, it is so tragic, the children that have been killed. And then we see people in our nation who are just acting a fool and saying, well, it's not something that really happened, and Israel killed their own people. I mean, have you ever seen such? We have lost all sense of morality in our nation. Brothers and sisters, it scares me to death that we got people who think like this in our nation. Well, I'm sorry, don't let me get off running that rabbit. Let's get back that how Jesus redeemed us. He paid the ransom for us. In John chapter 11, verse 51, we see there in that John chapter 11, there around 49-50, we see he's brought before the council, and Caiaphas tells him, says, well, you know, if he's of God, then nothing we can do, but let one man die for the whole nation. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus died for the nation. He died for the nation. He gave his life, not just for Israel, not just for that nation, but for all nations, for all people. He came to redeem us. And you know, when we come to celebrate this Christmas season, when we come to celebrate Jesus and what he did, then we need to understand and know that the reason he came was to die. Think about that just a minute. He didn't really come to rule. He didn't come to take over. He came to die for our sins, to give his life for ours. My wife sings a beautiful song. I love that song. I was listening to it just this week. I was sharing it with my dad. You know, that his life for mine. How that he gave his life for mine. How could he do that? Me being such a sinner. Me being so evil that I am. And yet Christ paid the ransom for me. Christ redeemed me. He brought me back from the depths of sin. And he did it because he loved me. But it was all in the fullness of time when God sent forth his Son to redeem us. Well, then let's look at the third thing. The third thing we see is not only did he come to redeem us, but that what? Look at that verse 5. That we might receive the adoption of sons. That we may be what? Adopted. In other words, he offers adoption unto us. He offers that adoption that we can be adopted into his family. Now, I want you to think just a minute about something about adoption. You know, when you think about adoption, I know I have a lot of friends that have adopted children and have friends that were adopted and have heard some wonderful eulogies and stories of people, you know, that were adopted when their parents have died, how that they talked about, you know, how thankful they were, how their parent received them into their home and accepted them when they didn't have to. When they didn't have to, you know, when it's kind of like that old saying, you can choose your friends but not your kin. You know, when you have a baby, you stuck with him, right? You know, but when you go to adopt one, I mean, that's something you don't have to do. Adoption is always initiated by who? It's initiated by the parents who are seeking to adopt a child. And that's the way our adoption is. Our spiritual adoption into God's family, it was initiated by God, not by us, but by God. We couldn't redeem ourselves. But when the fullness of time came, when everything was ready, you know, I've had a lot of people who adopted children from foreign countries. And I mean, sometimes it takes 2 years. Or sometimes, you know, they'll be trying to adopt an infant. And by the time they get it, it's 2 years old. Because everything has to be right, and the time has to be right, and have to get all the paperwork and the lawyers and all that's done, and spend all the money. Well, you know, when the time was right, when the time was full, then guess what happened? Then God, he initiated my adoption. He initiated your adoption. He wants to adopt you. He wants to adopt everyone in this world. If they would just come to know him, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have that opportunity to be adopted if we just will accept it, if we want to be adopted into the family of God. And this is what he said. Jesus came to redeem us, to offer unto us adoption into the family of God. You know, you could redeem somebody without adopting. You just go pay somebody's debt off, then they owed it to you, right? I mean, you could just go and say, okay, I'm going to let him work for me. So I'm going to go pay his debt off. I'm going to redeem him. And I'm going to pay the ransom for him. But now you owe me. You could be that kind of person. But see, God's not like that. When God redeemed us, when he ransomed us, when he bought us back from sin and from the law, then he offers us an adoption paper. Think about that. He offers us an adoption. In Romans 8:15, it says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So, see, we're not just set free so that once again we're put back in bondage under somebody else and we have the spirit of fear. He said, no, we hadn't received the spirit of bondage again. He says, when God sets us free, then he gives us the spirit of adoption. He says, I want you to be my child. I want you to be in my family. You know, he talks about, we always talk about in Corinthians 5:17, you know, that if you be in Christ, you're a new creature. You get a new name. Our choir sings a new name written down in heaven. You know, when you adopt a child, you change their name. You give them your name. God wants you to have his name. He wants you to adopt him. And it all happens through what? Christ. Christ coming to this world. Going back up to that first words there, what we read there in verse 4. God sent forth his Son. Why? To redeem us. Why? To offer to us adoption so that we can be adopted into the family of God. And so he initiated that. He started that. And for that reason, we are what? No longer just servants. We're no longer in bondage, but now we have the Spirit of adoption. We are part of that family. And we cry, Abba. We cry, Father. Well, then let's look at the fourth thing. He says, not only that, but he says in verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son unto your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So he says, now, since we have been, God has sent forth his Son has redeemed us, he has offered us adoption. If we accept that adoption, then what? He says, then he sends forth the Spirit of the Son, and he puts it where? In our hearts. Romans 5:5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So he says, God has shed abroad in our hearts his love through the Holy Ghost. He has given us his love. He has given us the Spirit of a Son through the Holy Spirit coming in our hearts. He says, the Spirit what beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit lets us know that we are one of God's children, that we are his Son, and that Holy Spirit reigns in our heart. And for that reason, we call him Abba. We call him Father. We call him Father. God wants that kind of relationship. And it was in the fullness of time that he sent forth his Son to redeem us, to offer us salvation. And if we want that adoption through salvation, and if we want that adoption, then he sent forth his Spirit unto our hearts that we no longer have to fear. We're no longer in bondage. He no longer ashamed, because now the love of God reigns in our hearts. Is the love of God reigning in your heart today? See, that's the whole point of Jesus coming. He came to do all this for us so that we can be the sons and the daughters of God, so that the Spirit can reign within our heart. And then he brings us to that last point, that verse 7. We are no longer servants. So he begins by saying, you know, we were under the law, we were servants to the law. God sent forth his Son in the fullness of time, that his Son would redeem us, would offer us adoption, that we would become sons. So if we become sons, then look what he says in verse 7, we are no more servants, but a son. And if we are a son, then we are heir of God through Christ. Oh, look at that. We are no longer a servant, but now we have become a son. And if we are a son, then we are heirs. Now, what in the world does that mean? That means we have an inheritance, right? If we are an heir to something, that means that we're going to get an inheritance. In Romans 8:17, he says that if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that when we were what? That we were also suffer with him, that we also will be glorified with him. So he says, we are children of God because in fullness of time, God saw the need of man to be forgiven of his sins. And so he sent forth his Son. He was in bondage to the law. He was in bondage to sin. And his Son came and redeemed us. And as he redeemed us, he offers to us that adoption to be children of God. And therefore he put within us the Spirit of a Son that we need not fear any longer. We're not in bondage any longer. But now we're not ashamed. We cry out, excuse me, we cry out Father, and we cry out Abba. And for that reason, we're no longer a servant, but we are joint heirs with Christ. Oh, think about that. But he says, if we're joint heirs with Christ, that means we may suffer with him. But if we suffer with him, we're also going to be glorified with him. But we are joint heirs with Christ. We are joined up with him. Now think about that. That we are considered a real brother. We're considered a real sister. We're considered one of his siblings, and we get just as much of the heir of the inheritance. We get that eternal life that God wants us to live with him in heaven one day, that he wants us to have that place that he's prepared for us that we know is our heavenly home. And we are joint heirs, and we get all the benefits here on this earth. If we're a child of God, we can pray, we can talk to God. God hears our prayers. He ministers to us. He meets our needs because we are joint heirs with Christ. Why? Because in the fullness of time, God had a plan, and that plan was to send forth His Son. And His Son, who was born and made of a woman, of a virgin, came even being under the law, but He redeemed us. He gave His life for a ransom for mine, so that He could offer to me adoption into the family of God. And because I have that adoption, I have that Holy Spirit living within me, and I'm no longer a servant, but a son of God, a joint heir with Him. What about you this morning? Are you a joint heir with Christ? Have you been adopted into the family of God? This Christmas, realize that is why Jesus came, so that you can be adopted into the family of God. Find that today if you don't have it. Let us pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for listening to us this morning. Lord, I thank You, Lord, that we have this opportunity. And Lord, I just pray for all those that have been listening. Lord, if there's one that has not been adopted into the family, that Lord, today would be the day that they would come to know Jesus, that they would receive Him as their Lord and Savior, that they would be ransomed today, they would be set free, they would receive that adoption and that Spirit of the Son. So Lord, speak to our hearts now as we give You the honor and the glory and the praise for it all. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.